Hey, you can experience Maui. That's in Hawaii with Bumper to Bumper. Book a once-in-a-lifetime package with defined destinations that includes a six-night stay, airfare, excursions, live broadcasts, and more. Limited trips are available, so please act fast. Details, KFAN.com.
I'm so excited about this interview, and it's got nothing to do with baseball. And I feel bad because I just basically ruined Paul Molitor's day. But
why?
Because I picked it up during the break, and he was on hold, and I picked up the phone, and I just berated him with questions about Bruce Springsteen for 10 minutes. I'm sure he's already sick of talking to us, and he hasn't even started the interview yet.
Right. We're good at that.
I know. I can't help it. I'm just an enormous fan. And he got to see, so you know what, bring him on. Springsteen's doing this Broadway thing right now where it's just him and his guitar, and apparently his wife comes out too, and he tells stories about songs, and he tells us, and it's the hardest ticket to get in the world right now. And Paul Molitor.
It's like Hamilton.
And by the way, also, yeah, and I know you won the American League Majors of the Year, but you saw this play, man. That's unbelievable.
Well, first of all, good morning to you guys.
Morning.
I've been on with you for a long time, so I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, it's when I heard that he was going to go out and do this Broadway thing, you know, he came out last summer. I was just hoping I'd get a chance to go out there. And so it turned out to be a really cool trip. I took my older daughter, and we went out there. We saw the show on Thursday night, and then I received Brian Dozier's Gold Glove on his behalf Friday night at a dinner when I sat with Buxton and Torrey Hunter. So that was pretty cool, too. But the show, you know, for anybody who appreciates his music and all that, I can't tell you how fun it was to see it. It's very intimate. It's a small theater. 2 hours. It's like I said, it's a Broadway show. It's not a concert. He kind of has the shtick down, and it's just a kind of a different glimpse of him and his life.
You know, Paul, they always say that, like, rock stars want to be athletes and athletes want to be rock stars or movie stars. If you could change with, like, either the Baseball Hall of Fame or the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which one would you pick?
Yeah, see, I'm right with that kind of thought process. I've had that music thing in my brain a long time, back through the high school, college days. I don't know, Baseball Hall of Fame is pretty cool. but that place that got sitting on the lake in Cleveland is too. And you guys know it is. When you watch guys that can perform and they can get an audience in the grip of their hand and they do it year after year and decade after decade, that those guys are pretty special too.
Speaking of the Hall of Fame, I don't know if you knew this or not, Paul. Maybe somebody's told you. Maybe Dustin told you this. Did you know that you're only the second player ever to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame and then go on to be Manager of the Year?
Both these guys were smarter than me. They got out of the game when they got done playing.
That's true. Frank Robinson, though, the only other guy to do what you just did.
Well, you know, it really is. I try to think in my head of guys that have gotten to the Hall of Fame and managed. You know, Ted Williams and Frank, obviously, and Yogi Berra, and a little more recent Ryan Sandberg. You know, managed the Phillies for a couple of years. I don't know. I guess that's kind of one of those little strange facts that come out of something like this. But I don't really look at it that way. You know, managing and playing is playing. They're two different things, that's for sure.
You saw, you know, Byron Buxton from the very beginning of his career. Then obviously you've managed him for a couple seasons now. And now he wins the Gold Glove. He wins that Silver Glove. What a turnaround he's had from when everybody thought he was going to be this superstar to it took him a little time. And now he's proved a lot of people wrong, and he's maybe the best defensive center fielder in baseball.
Yeah, well, you know, I just think to have that guy out front of our franchise right now as his career starts to take off. You know, he's just one of those guys that you can't help but pull for. He gets it. He gets every part of it. He gets the work part. He gets the humility part. He gets the want to win part. He gets the I don't want to get the attention part. It's just kind of special to be around him. You know, I was, like I said, on that dinner at Friday night, I knew he won the Gold Glove, but I hadn't heard that he was going to get the Platinum, the one that represents the best defensive player in the league. And I just think that, you know, that's just kind of a glimpse of some of the things that Twins fans have in front of them, that he's going to be a guy who's going to be on that front stage receiving, I think, multiple awards for many years to come.
All right, this is an odd way to ask this question, but I can't help it. I'm not good at my job, Paul. Last year, you guys lost more than 100 games, okay? If somebody had told you, and listen, going into the season, everybody's a contender. But if somebody had told you that it was possible that you would have this kind of season you had, did you look at your roster? Did you look at what you had in the cupboard and say it's possible, honestly?
I think in today's game with the changes and kind of the competitive balance, if you will, that you think that if everything falls into place, you know, you're going to have a chance to maybe surprise and kind of maybe hang in the race. You know, 500 is hanging in the race in today's times with the two wild cards. So, yeah, I thought there was a chance. I knew some things were going to have to happen. You know, it 3 years ago when Torrey Hunter came over and played, we had a good year. I thought we were going to be better the year after that, and then we lose 103. And so, you know, it was like, who was going to show up this year? It was nice to see that for the most part, you know, we from the very beginning, guys went about it a lot better way, more confidence, and we were able to, you know, have a pretty good season. We still got a ways to go, man. Those teams in the World Series are pretty good, but it was nice for these guys to get a chance to taste postseason baseball and hopefully increase that appetite a little bit.
Talking to Paul Molitor, AL Manager of the Year, and you're manager, of course, of your Minnesota Twins. Paul, when a new general manager and front office come in, sometimes it doesn't matter who the guy is in charge. Sometimes they just want their own guy, and they like to start over. But obviously you have an extension now. But was there a point, even during this surprisingly good run, this good season, this 85-77 season, was there a point where you weren't sure that you and Falvey and Levine were on the same page?
I wouldn't say so much we were on the same page as much as I had thoughts about, you know, these guys are – they're, you know, checking out our organization from top to bottom, every department, and obviously it's their futures are at stake and their roles of what they do to make this franchise better. So I didn't assume anything, and I didn't try to, you know, spend too much wasted energy or stress thinking about it. It was fun being a part of the year. It goes by fast, especially when you're winning. And, hey, when we got to the end of the road, we were seeing where it lied. So I was fine with that. I knew that was part of the gig. They told me that they were going to wait till the end of the year, so we just let it play out.
If you could put your GM hat on, what would be the one thing you would do to maybe help this team get over that hump?
Well, I would look into every possible, feasible, potential avenue to find a match with another team, to look at the possible market and free agency and how it's going to come down. I would try to find a way to make our pitching better. That's when you watch those postseason, that was the one thing I think that kind of jumps out at you. Okay, these pitching staffs are like this, and ours is like that. And we had some guys that step up and did pretty well, but I think we need to narrow that to give ourselves a better chance. And I think Derek and Thad are down there in Orlando right now, starting to lay some groundwork for hopefully find a way to get that done.
Give me a name on the Minnesota Twins, maybe in the minor leagues, or maybe somebody who's on the squad right now in the major leagues who's a young player that you think is just sitting on a giant year next year, who's going to maybe even make a dent nationally.
Yeah, I think on the position side, there's, you know, the next guy that's probably going to be impactful is Gordon, our shortstop from Double A, and I think that, you know, he's probably, you know, whether how much chance he's going to get next year, depending on injuries and all those kind of things, what doors might open up, I'm not sure. But I think in the pitching, that's where I expect the combination of guys we already have, the guys that we might be able to trade for this winter or pick up some in some way. I think we have some guys down there that can help us, whether it's you know, Jake Reed or Shea Guac coming back or Tyler Jay. You know, there's some arms down there that they potentially can help us. I think Gonzalez has a chance to, you know, make a dent in our rotation somewhere along the way. So, you know, you just hope these guys continue to climb the ladder and they find a way to come up here and contribute.
And, Paul, obviously you guys were without, for a good chunk at the end of the year, without Miguel Sano, who was a beast the first half of the year. But he just had surgery, a day or so ago, right? Everybody cool there with Sano's surgery?
You know, I just called him before the surgery to wish him well. I think he was a little anxious about it, but I think he knows it gives him the best chance to get back and be it 100% by spring training. You know, we all see what that man can do when he's locked in and he's going good and he's feeling his body's doing good. So I think he's going to be fine. I think they just try to reinforce that leg the best way that they could, and they put that plate in there and they try to tighten it up and take away some of that inflammation issue that he was dealing with. So I think he's going to be fine. It's going to be the challenging part. He's going to be relatively inactive for the next 6 to 8 weeks, which will kind of limit his off-season normal workout. But hopefully we can monitor what he does when he gets healthy and we can get him ready for camp.
Back to when you saw Bruce Springsteen on Broadway.
Yeah.
What's the best song he played or your favorite?
Well, I'll just tell you, man, when a guy's up there by himself, and whether it's on the guitar or the piano, it just has a totally different vibe, the way that he breaks down rock and roll songs and makes them acoustic songs. You know, I think the very first song he kicks off the show with is "Growing Up," which has always been a favorite of mine. You know, he does "Born to Run" and "Born in the USA" and all those type of things. I'm a big fan of a song called "Long Walk Home," and he breaks that out in the second half of the show, and it's just such a different version when they hear it with the band, and it makes it pretty special.
What do you like that's current? You in any new bands in the last 2-3 years, or is it a lot of the old school rock and roll?
Whatever my kids are playing in the car, that's what I'm listening to. You know how that is.
What do they listen to? Do you know?
No, but I know that I got to listen really carefully to get how fast they're singing. So I'm behind the times, man. I'm old. It's a different thing out there these days, but as long as it's relatively clean, I can deal with it.
Right.
All right. I have two last things for you myself about Bruce Springsteen and music. First of all, for me, best live track from Bruce Springsteen ever recorded goes all the way back to the 1975 Hammersmith Odeon in London when he did Lost in the Flood. Do you have anything better than that?
Lost in the Flood's a great show when you get a chance to see it live. You know, I don't know if I got anything better than that. I just know that from the time that I worked for Schoen Productions back when I was at the University of Minnesota and had a chance to work in the pit to the shows that I've seen decade after decade, it's just provided a nice little part of my life that's been entertaining. I never would have imagined back then it was going to go on for 40 years, but, you know, kudos to him for keeping it going.
Mm. All right, and lastly, we have a performance room here at the station. I've got a smoking band.
Yeah.
I can make you your own version of Bruce Springsteen for one night. We can do it in front of people or not in front of people. I'll have my guys learn whatever Springsteen song you want to sing. It's Paul Molitor live in concert
the Fan. It would be creepy if just the band, if like Molitor was in the crowd by himself and you guys just played
him.
Singing.
Oh, he's
the lead singer. All right, so you're saying Paul's singing.
That's right.
He's the boss.
And then what do you do then?
I just sit there and watch.
Oh, so you're in the stands.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know all about your band, and you know, I've been known to get up and do a Springsteen song here and there, so I think we might have to see if we can work something out.
All right,
why would we not just do it at Target Field in front of 40,000 people?
Yeah. All right, I'll do that too.
He may know a guy.
how about next year when they hand him the trophy in front of the crowd?
Yeah.
He breaks out three or four Bruce songs.
We'll break something out.
Why don't we do it on Meat Swords Day?
We could do it on Meat Swords Day 3. Perfect.
Do you have any idea? Honestly, do you have any idea what Meat Swords Day at Target Field is? Honestly,
no.
Yeah, that's it.
For the last 2 years, Nick Swardson, local comedian, maybe you've seen him in a lot of
huge
those Adam Sandler movies.
Movie star.
Yeah, Nick Swardson and Meat Sauce basically do an impromptu bit where they go to a Twins game and just tell people they're going. It's just about them, and then people take pictures with them. Last year, Kyle Rudolph and Josh Duhamel were a part of it as well. And then Marnie Gellner infamously said, "God bless vodka" on the Fox Sports broadcast. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm sure that she'll never forget having the opportunity to say that.
We'll join you next year.
Paul, congrats on the award. Marty's well deserved.
Yeah, she is the best, isn't she?
Thanks.
Thank you, Paul.
Have a good one.
Paul See you Molitor. Later, buddy. Bye.
Yeah. You know what? So I'm always reminded of this when I listen to you talk about Dave Matthews or you talk about Warrant or Nickelback or Switchfoot, or again, I'm a 311 junkie. I love almost all the bands we just named. I'm not a Nickelback fan. I'm not a Warrant fan. I'm not a Dave fan per se. I don't know much about Switchfoot. I'm not a Bruce Springsteen guy at all. But I love that all of us have a band. You got to have a band. It's so much fun to have a band. You travel to see them. You obsess over them. You know every song, every word. It's just fun to have a band. Everybody should have a band.
Yeah.
Right?
Mine's coming to town. Do you know anyone in the band? Mark Parrish, Dave?
No, I don't.
Okay. He doesn't know anybody named Dave.
No, not Dave.
Forget you then.
Sorry. I'll work on it for you.
Oh, I love Lost in the Flood. I love him too.
You
man.
Love Springsteen.
I do.
Yeah.
And I love Paul Molitor.
Not?
I really
you see
do.
Him live.
I'm so
I've never seen him live.
Oh, dude. That's why he's the boss.
Hey, Parrish?
Yes, sir.
I got to see him on the last tour that he was able to do with the big man before the big man died.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. How
That's
about
awesome.
That?
That is so cool. I've seen him 3-4 times.
How cool
Unbelievable.
Is Paul Molitor? Honestly.
Yeah, he's
how
the
cool
best, dude.
He's super nice.
Yeah.
He gets it.
And he said he hadn't been with us for a while. I mean, he felt bad about it.
One of the classiest guys I've ever met.
He's just in crazy the Hall of classy. Fame. He's maybe the best designated hitter of all time.
Yeah. Well, you know his hands.
Yeah.
He was so quick with that bat.
Yeah.
It was lightning.
And he's from here.
Mm-hmm.
Is he?
Bradshaw and Bryant bringing this portion of the Power Trip Morning Show. Vikings news with a little color analyst controversy and a quick Jared Allen update right after this on The Fan. Main Street from drinking unholy blood. The Fan. Sticker smile sweet as Gunner breeze deep. His ankles caked in mud.